Bishop here with you, and welcome to another edition of Devlin's Pirate Radio Show. But this isn't like any other edition. In fact, it's a special edition today. It is my Pride edition, and that means that I am going to be celebrating Pride on this episode, and we'll be talking about lots of gay things, because that is what Pride is all about. This is actually Hamilton's Pride Week when this is debuting, and June is pretty much Pride Month in all of Canada and recognized pretty much regularly. And most cities have got Pride celebrations, whatever they plan to do. Of course, Toronto being the biggest in Ontario, I think their Pride Day almost stretches out almost for 2 weeks practically. But technically, it's just a time of celebration. Obviously, gay pride can be just about whenever you want it, but they actually have specific times for it, so I decided I would do a little tribute for it. Although I don't talk always about me being gay, I thought I do try to celebrate Pride somehow. I try to go to at least one of the events or do something, or even, you know, put some gay friendly music or something in my Facebook or something. But the truth of the matter is if you're gay, you should actually celebrate Pride every day. Now, before we get to just what Pride means to me, which is what my first segment is about, some of you are probably, I want to address some of the people that are probably thinking, well, I don't understand why you people need gay pride. There's no hetero pride out there. And with that, I say that that is absolutely ridiculous. To be honest with you, there may not be an official day called Hetero Pride Day, but you have several days in your life that you get to flaunt your heterosexuality. Your wedding day, your anniversaries, every time you have a kid. The fact that you can still be very open about your sexuality, and you can put things on your public media that's you being straight. And, you know, yeah, so your Pride Days are pretty much almost every day, every time you do. Now, we are getting better at that. You know, a lot of places now we can get legally married, we can, you know, adopt kids, we can do that. And that's starting to be all around the world. But we still have a long way to go. You know, you breeders, I don't want to make it sound like that, but the truth of the matter is you people can still go out and hold your hands in public. Mike and I can hold hands in public if we choose, but we still have that fear of being harassed, ridiculed, and, you know, even like beaten up to a life's death. As much as we want to embrace that we have come a long way, and we have. There is no denying that, and I certainly am not putting down what we have. The truth of the matter is we still have a long way to go, because there is still a lot of hate out there. And so, yeah. My next question is, do we need a gay pride? And I say yes. Because we have every right to celebrate what we have. And I love when other people celebrate with us. Now, when you think of gay pride, a lot of you probably think of those really flamboyant parades that you see in the big cities like Toronto, New York, stuff like that, where, you know, San Francisco, where you see, you know, half-naked men with little gold shorts or even less in some places, you know, with the super soakers and they're, you know, spraying people, and, you know, they've got loud electrono dance music playing. That is gay pride. It certainly is, but it's such a small part of it, and sadly, that's the part the media always tries to play up, because it's visually probably the most stunning, but if you look around, there is tons of family barbecues around there. There's church services that cater to gays. There's so many little things that are just as gay pride, but the media doesn't like those because they're not. So yes, you can let go and get on a float and dance and act like an idiot, but that's not all that gay pride is about. And that's what I want to talk about mostly, is what gay pride means to me. And to be honest with you, I actually, when I celebrate gay pride, I want to celebrate it with everyone. Now, gay pride is specifically mostly for, let me get this right, gays, lesbians, transgender or trans, bisexual, and I'm sure there's a couple of other offshoots that I'm forgetting, but that is pretty much the community. But when you go to like a big party like Toronto, there's a lot of straight people that celebrate because they have gay family members, they have gay friends. One of the most wonderful moments at Gay Pride is in these big parades. They actually have a place where family members can march. And they're not necessarily decked out. They may have rainbow stuff or something, but they're not gay, but they're celebrating a relative or a friend that is gay or trans or bi or lesbian. And it's a beautiful moment to see that these people are stepping up for somebody they care about. But again, they don't always focus on that in the media because it's more, look at those guys in the gold shorts, you know, all greased up and oiled up. And it would be lovely to see more of the other side of it, because pride is just so much stuff. When I always speak about gay pride, I just want it to be Pride Day. I want, if you're gay, be proud to be gay. Because for those of you who have come out of the closet, just think of back when you weren't out of the closet and you had to hide. And how sometimes it was fun to be kind of hidden and closed, but there were a lot of sad times too. And I'm sure majority of people who said when they came out, it was more of a positive thing. And for me, it was. I was hiding so many feelings and emotions, and I wasn't being real. And I'm not a person about outing people. I don't. I think people have to come out at their own time. If it's when they're young, when it's they're older, it really is something you have to do. But for me, pride should be everyone. It's just a day where we forget about, you know, sexual labels and just go out and have fun, do things with people we love, hug, love people we love. I even include straight people when I talk about pride, because they have every right to be just as proud as us. Yes, they may have more opportunities to put it out there, but I'm willing to share Pride Day with just about anyone, because I personally think that that is pride for me. You know, I'm proud to be gay, and I love seeing other people who are proud to be trans or lesbian or bi. But you know what? Be proud. If you're asexual, be proud of that. Be proud of being straight. I'd love it to be everything. Like, sure, I want to have loud, crazy parties. I want dance music. I do want lots of color and stuff and rainbows and everything. But I want to dance with everyone. I want everyone to be able to come in. And I love when I see straight people come in and want to celebrate pride with us, because it's such a great feeling. And I think that's the way it should be. I would love for it to be that way all the time. And there are some people who basically say, isn't it that way all the time now? Aren't we very accepting? We have made huge strides. But maybe coming from the straight community wanting to look in and kind of patting themselves on the shoulder because of, look at the strides we're making. We have made incredible strides, but at the same time, there is still so much that has to be done. Now, I've always been a believer of not breaking down things, as in, I don't like hearing about women's rights. Now, that doesn't say I don't support women's rights. What I don't like is I like to talk about humans' rights. You know, I always bring up men's rights because of the fact of women's rights. But the truth of the matter is, I am all about human rights. I don't like when we try to segregate, you know. I think, you know, people are always on about that all humans should be treated equal. And then I watch as, like, women's groups try to put down men's groups. Or we try to, you know, talk about, you know, I'm really kind of mixed up here because I know what I'm trying to say here. The world was always wrong, okay? Women always should be equal. Everybody should be equal. Unfortunately, I don't think in the world we'll ever get to that point. But we should celebrate every milestone we hit that we do get closer to that. I've always been about human rights. I don't think we should put one higher than the other. Yes, we lived in a world where men were considered superior at one time than women. I don't think that was right in any way. But I don't think we should now live in a world where now we put women higher up and they try to bring men down. If we're going to be equal, we got to be equal. That's what it is to me. And that's what pride means to me, is pride should be about everyone. I know there's probably some adamant gay people that are saying, let us have our week. Yes, we should have our week, and we should dance our asses off or just spend it with people we love. Even having a quiet, like, friends over for dinner, maybe putting on some gay-friendly movies. However you decide to celebrate pride, just so you know, I'm inviting you with it. If you're straight, you can join us for Pride, and we will be proud that you are straight, and I'll be proud that I'm gay. And that's just how I would like to see it all. And that goes with the human rights things. If you want to talk to me about people's rights, then I will listen. If you want to talk to me how women need this to happen, but men are still dealing with stuff, you know, basically, you know, I've been told in the past that, you know, when a young girl is raped, we need to stop that. And yes, we do. But I have been in situations where I've been told that when young men are raped by women, men, whoever, it's not as serious. That blows my fucking mind. That should just be, we need to stop raping kids. The fact that you could call a rape hotline and be told that we do not support men because men don't technically get raped. That is bullshit. And that is why, if you want to sit down and talk about human rights with me, then I'm all for it. But there is no way I'm going to say that any gender is more important than the other. Males aren't more important than women. Women are not more important. They're humans. Everybody should be equal. And that's how I feel about pride. Yes, Pride Day is for us. But that doesn't mean you people, you straight people that I love so much, can join us. Because I love all you guys. And, you know, I see people that are kind of put down gay pride. Like, ugh. Roll their eyes. Why do we need this? Why do we need this? Well, the fact of the matter is that we need to let off some steam of who we are. And don't just judge what you see on TV, because there's people celebrating Pride in the sweetest and sweetest of ways. I know a lot of gay people who aren't going to go out to the parades or the big barbecues, and they're just going to celebrate, have a nice dinner with friends. And I personally, as I said, my pride does include everyone. Because I would love to live in a world where everybody's rights are equal. I would love to live in a world where everybody is allowed to be proud of who they are. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that still aren't. And that doesn't just mean the gay community. That also means the straight community. You know, and... You know, I know I'm talking about a perfect world, and we should always keep striving for that perfect world. Whether it comes, I would love to say it's going to happen in my lifetime, but I don't think it will. But I do like to celebrate all the little successes that we get. Not just as, you know, the gay community, the, you know, trans and bi and lesbian community. The victories of humans that we have, that, you know, that we have. And I think we should celebrate those things more. I know in the media and stuff, in society, we like to talk about the dark side of things. A lot, but there's so much good stuff out there, too. I don't think we should blindly not look, because I don't think we're ever going to solve the world's problems by pretending there is no problems. But I don't think we're going to solve the problems either by, you know, just, you know, smiling all the time and just concentrating on the positive. There's got to be a happy medium. So Pride Day to me is very important. But I think it's a day that should be, or a week, or even a month, that should be celebrated by everyone. And if you are a gay pride supporter, I thank you for that. Due to the fact that it's, you know, being in the Hamilton area, it's only started building a couple years, and we're not as big as Toronto. I heard that the first Pride event they had kind of a dance, and I think only about 30 people showed up, because of just, not just because people didn't want to go, just because people didn't know about it. And then that built, and it built, and it built. Now we usually have barbecues at Bayfront, and there's a lot of places you can check out. Excuse me. You can check out Hamilton Pride. They're on Facebook. They have a thing. They'll keep you up to date with all the events. You can check out Prides all over the place. And you know what? Even if you're not gay, lesbian, trans, or bi, check it out. We have some good friends that love coming out with us and just being there for us. They have a great time and they love supporting the community. And as for me, I always kind of, you know, I'm happy to have them there because, as I said, I want to share my pride with people. I know I've kind of rambled a lot. I've been talking about human rights and pride, but I think in a lot of ways it all comes together. We want to be the best people we can possibly be. And to fight for human rights, or to be proud of who we are, how we were made, how we've become. You know, so many people talk about being the best people we can be. And I totally agree with that. I actually like that better than be yourself. Because be yourself, there's a lot of people that take liberties with that and can still be assholes and horrible people. But when you say be the best person you can be, it suggests a more positive state. Because I hate to say it, be yourself is so general. If I wanted to be a prick or an asshole, that technically falls under be yourself. So I personally like to use be the best person you can possibly be. Whether you're celebrating Pride this week or any week, thank you, and have a great time with it. Celebrate Pride responsibly. Do not drink and drive. But celebrate it somehow. You know, just find a way to smile and be proud of where you are in your life. Be proud of who you are in your life. And, and give a shout out to somebody you know who might be bi or lesbian or trans or gay. Because, yeah, it is about us. I will share it with you, but thank you if you... I love when people come up to me and say, Happy Pride Week! I've said it to gay people, and they look at me like, what are you going on? We don't say that. And I'm like, oh, God. Why am I part of this community? Why can't I be straight? Okay, I don't say that often, but... but anyhow, whatever the case is, I hope you have a great Pride Week, and just go out and feel the love. Feel the love. Anyhow, that's me ranting about that. I'm going to be a little bit more coherent in my next one. I'm going to take a look at some gay movies that I've always loved. And if you decide to have a quiet night in, I will give you a list of movies you should check out that are pride-oriented, let's say. Let's take a short break and I'll be back. Back here on the Devlin Pirate Radio Show Pride Special, and I was trying to think of segments to talk about, and I always come back to movies, because I absolutely adore movies. You know that, if you've listened regularly, you know that. And, you know, sometimes, as I said, there are some people that don't want to go to flashy Pride events, and sometimes they just want to stay home. And if you want to have a quiet night in with your significant other, but still want to celebrate Pride, I have a list of some of my favorite movies. Now, there has been a lot of movies out in the last little while. In fact, we have got a lot of choices in the gay Pride, and trans, and the bi, and lesbian. I don't want to miss any of them. There was a time, I have to admit, that in the 90s, when I was starting to come out and started to get involved in gay culture, and I wanted to start seeing gay movies and listen to gay music and stuff, just to, I don't know, just because I wanted to see what was out there, I was kind of surprised, because in the 90s, basically, all you'd get were AIDS movies and drag queen movies. And by all means, there is nothing wrong with either of these, but, yeah, that's all we got. And so it's refreshing when you come across some different ones, and I'm going to offer a little bit of that to you, a little bit of everything. I'm going to be honest with you, I have seen a lot of great lesbian movies, and trans, and bisexual, but of course, my list, these are some of my favorites, so they might be a little more on the gay side. I apologize that in advance. But go out there, do your research. There's a lot of great things. I wish I could talk about a lot of them, but the truth of the matter is there's just too many to talk about. I will talk about, as I said, these are some of my favorites. And hopefully go out and enjoy them, because these are movies that I think are about the gay community and more, but I think they're more on a human level, and it kind of goes with what I just talked about if I wasn't too incoherent in that last segment. I'm going to start with probably my favorite, and that's Brokeback Mountain. Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal. It's sad that this movie early on got labeled the gay cowboy movie. A lot of people did not go to see this movie, and I've had some people who told me that they just didn't know if they could handle this movie. For the people who did take the chance on this movie, I want to say thank you, because you probably already know, this to me is not just a gay movie, this is a romantic movie. What I loved is when I saw Brokeback Mountain a few times in the theater, when it was ending its run, I noticed in the theater there was a lot of older women, like anything from like 40 up. And you could tell that they were touched by the love story. It's a really tragic love story, but honestly, if you have ever had a friendship that was so close that you couldn't really define it and you didn't want to, or if you've ever been in a taboo relationship that, you know, I think happens more often than some of us care to admit, you need to see Brokeback Mountain. It's a wonderful film. It is heartbreaking, but I think all the best romantic films, whether it's gay, straight, whatever, are a bit tragic. But it is such a beautiful film. And Heath and Jake, you know, they got Oscar nominated. I think this is one that the Oscars are going to realize down the way that this should have won Best Picture. It lost out to Crash that year, and I think a lot of the reason they lost out to Crash was because a lot of Hollywood did not want to go see this movie. And it's too bad, because I think this was the movie that should have won. As much as I loved Heath Ledger as the Joker, I think this should have been his first Oscar, and it would have been nice to give it to him when he was alive. Both of them are just absolutely wonderful in this, and the women in this movie, Anne Hathaway and Michelle Williams, also very brilliant. A very complex love story, as most of them are. Another one of my favorite love stories is one you'd have to do a little bit of work to find. It's called Beautiful Thing. It's a British import, and it's a comedy drama that deals with teenagers falling in love. Now, this movie I discovered in the 90s, and it was so refreshing because it wasn't about AIDS. It wasn't about drag queens. It was about two boys who fight every minute that they might be falling in love with each other. If you have never seen it, it is absolutely wonderful. I highly recommend it. If you know me, I'll lend it to you, but better come back to me, because it took me a while to get this. I got it for a gift, and somebody actually find me a good copy of this. Beautiful film. If you're looking for something a little more fun, The Birdcage with Robin Williams and Nathan Lane. Absolutely funny movie. If you're more of a cinemaphile who like foreign films more, this was based on La Cage aux Folles. I probably butchered that title. You could watch the original, but I think this remake is actually pretty good. Basically about two gay men whose son is getting married, and they have to act straight in order to just get through the dinner party and stuff. Very funny, very nice performance by Robin Williams, and Nathan Lane just steals every scene that he's in. Another one, if you're looking for a light comedy that works in this, is In and Out with Kevin Kline. This was loosely based on when Tom Hanks won the Oscar for Philadelphia. He dedicated it to a high school teacher who was gay and was inspirational to him. And I guess the writers thought how awesome it would be if that high school teacher wasn't out and just living his normal life, and he was outed on one of the biggest telecasts of all time. And that's where the basis of this movie came, where Kevin Kline is basically outed from this student who thought he was gay, yet he's in this relationship, and he deals with the fact, is this true or not? And it's a wonderful movie, it's a lot of fun, and very lighthearted if you're looking for something like that. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. If you're looking for a movie that has lots of color, music, awesome music, and just some costumes that are unbelievable, you got to check this movie out. A Terrence Stamp, Hugo Weaving, and, I forgot the other guy, Guy Pearce. You know, they don't make the prettiest women, but they have a femininity about them that's absolutely wonderful. It is a big, bolsterous thing. What I love about this movie is they do deal with gay issues, but they don't solve them. They just remind us that they're there, but then we move on and go on to life. They don't try to solve them like so many movies try to do. If you're looking for something a little more historical, you might want to try Milk. This is about Harvey Milk, played wonderfully by Sean Penn. I believe he won the Oscar for it. And he is the gay activist that had a lot to do with getting gay rights going and started. And it's a wonderful movie. It's well put together, very entertaining, and definitely one you should consider checking out. Boys in the Band. I was back and forth whether I should put this on my list, but I do enjoy it, and I know Mike and I love watching this movie. This was actually one of the first gay movies that was released in theaters, like an actual gay movie. There were movies that had gay subtexts in and stuff, but this was actually one of the first, and some gay people don't like it because it's very gay stereotypical. It's also a very brutal film because it's the story of a bunch of friends that get together for a guy's birthday. But all these truths come out and they play this vicious game where, you know, they almost try to destroy each other. It's actually a very entertaining movie, but some people might have trouble with it. It's very over the top, flamboyant. I think it's a very big part of gay culture, and I think it's, for gay people, it's kind of an interesting one to watch, because this, you know, was made in the late 60s, early 70s, so it shows what the culture was like back then. And we got to remember, there was a whole culture before we were allowed to get married and all this stuff, and I like seeing what life was like in that. And Boys in the Band is definitely one that you might want to check out. You know, I mentioned there were a lot of AIDS movies, and there's some wonderful ones, of course, like Philadelphia, Long-Term Companion, that's not right. I can't remember the name of it, Long-Time Companion or something like that. It's going to bug me. But one of my personal favorites is a movie called It's My Party. Now, I admit Olivia Newton-John is in this, and that's not why... That probably got me out to see this film. Olivia's been a strong supporter of gay rights, and this is actually directed by the guy who directed Grease, and he invited a whole bunch of celebrities in this. It actually stars Eric Roberts and Gregory Harrison. And they play two lovers that break up. And Eric Roberts is diagnosed with AIDS. And he finds out that he's going through the period where he is going to probably be dying in the next. Like, his body's going to be breaking down. He's going to go blind. So he decides to kind of throw a party to have good times, kind of like his wake or funeral before he goes, so he gets a chance to deal with people. And his family members come, all his friends, other people with AIDS come. Now, this probably sounds like an absolutely depressing film, but it's surprisingly not. They do deal with stuff, but I think the reason I love this movie so much is it's about closure. It's about dealing with things. Because I don't think we do that a lot nowadays, and I'm a big fan of I need closure on things. And my one dream, well, not my one dream, that's not the way to put it. One thing I really hope in life is that when the time comes, when I have to pass, I hope I get a chance to say goodbyes. Because I really would hate to just one day it's, you know, done. And I know it could happen. But I hope that if I could get... And that's what It's My Party's all about. Because while Eric Roberts is trying to have a good time, other people are trying desperately to close with him, and he doesn't want to. Gregory Harrison, his old boyfriend, shows up, and he desperately needs to end this and put together why they broke up, why he was pushed away. And Eric Roberts doesn't want to deal with this. And even though there's a lot of comedy in this movie, all this thing is you're thinking about, are they ever going to get a chance to talk? And it just kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat. It's a phenomenal movie. A wonderful movie, too. Hedwig and the Angry Inch. If you like Rocky Horror Picture Show, you will probably like Hedwig. Now, Hedwig was an off-Broadway play that eventually made it to Broadway thanks to Neil Patrick Harris, who resurrected this thing, and now this play is huge. But back when this movie came out, it was still a little unknown movie and play. And this movie is just so funny, moving, touching. It's basically about a guy who wants to be a woman, who is a musician and does these little tours where nobody comes, and he has a small fan base. He has a lot of issues in his life, and it's got some of the most biting wit I have ever heard and some of the most amazing songs. The soundtrack for this is phenomenal. One of my favorite songs is a song called Origin of Love. It is probably one of the most beautiful things that you will ever hear. Hedwig and the Angry Inch, definitely check that out. There is some gay issues in it, but I think you could watch this even without. As I said, there's so many great movies out there. I could just go on and on. There's some that are probably not good for it, you know. One movie that I really do love, and it's a movie about trans people. It stars Felicity Huffman as a man who's going through the process of becoming a woman. And before they get to the final stage of the operation and stuff, you know, she's lived her life as a woman now, but now to get to that final stage, her psychiatrist suggests she has to go on a road trip, and basically she winds up going with her son, but the son doesn't know that this is his father, and he believes he's traveling with an actual woman. This is, I tell you, when I went watch this, I said, this is tricky by all accounts. But to be honest with you, they really do a beautiful job. And Felicity Huffman is heartbreaking. Again, nominated for an Oscar. Definitely worthy to check out. It is such a solid movie. Kevin Zegers, Canadian boy, stars as the young guy. And it's just a phenomenal movie if you get a chance to check it out. I strongly recommend that. Lots of great films and not so great. Some people would be horrified if I mentioned Bruno on here. But it's such a good movie and there's so much realism in it. It definitely plays the gay stereotype tongue-in-cheek. But it also seems to get it, too. It is a groundbreaking film. I definitely think you should check it out. If you're interested in something a little different, I suggest a movie called Cruising. This was a movie that came out in 1980, and fans were excited because it was the first time a major studio was going to release a gay movie. Al Pacino was the star, and people were loving it. It was Warner Brothers, I believe, and everybody was excited about it, and then they revealed what the plot was. And it got picketed. And basically, it is about a serial killer who goes around killing gay men. And Al Pacino is a straight guy who has to pretend to be gay to get into the community. Gay people went nuts because of the fact that it just... the first big gay release from a thing is about gays dying. And there was picketing, there was everything. The movie is pretty good. It's not great, but I like it because I think Al Pacino didn't get enough respect for doing this role. Because he plays like a straight man going undercover as a gay man, and to be honest with you, it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal performance. Because he deals with the issues of that, you know, he's got a girlfriend, a wife at home, and he has to keep his mind on the project, you know, and it is just a great thing. I think Al Pacino should get a lot of credit for this. Another great film, Victor Victoria with Julie Andrews, doesn't really deal with gay themes, but sort of does. Because everybody turns out to be gay in this movie, or at least they think they are, or some of them actually are. Great soundtrack, again, a real feel-good film. If you're a musical fan, this should be on your list, because it is that good. If you're looking for a couple of awesome documentaries, I suggest Wigstock. This was a big New York party that they did where everybody wore wigs and big drag. This is basically everything I just complained about that the media only concentrates on, but it's a documentary. It only happened a couple of years in a row, and this documentary actually was the last time it actually happened, but it's still definitely worthy of checking out. And if you're interested in gay cinema at all, you need to put The Celluloid Closet. It's a documentary that basically looks at gay movies and even movies that had gay subtext that you might not even noticed, and talks about the history of how gays were portrayed in films. And they touch on some of the movies I've touched on and talked about, you know, things that you might not have. It's a real eye-opener, and you don't even have to be gay to enjoy it. You could just be a movie fan to see how it plays out. Anyhow, that's a whole list of great movies. I could probably do several segments on this, but those are some of my real favorites. Let me know if there's some favorites you want me to know about. I've probably seen them and just didn't have a chance to talk about them. But yeah, definitely, I'd love to hear it. And we're going to continue with this pride. I'm feeling all, woo, pride. I feel like I should have some glitter or a feather boa on right now. But it's radio. It's not. I'm doing it naked, like I always do. Okay, not really naked. I don't want your imaginations to go crazy, even though this is pride. I'm going to be taking a look at the sentimental side of pride when I get back.
I look into the window of my mind. Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop.
Welcome back to my Pride special, and I hope you're having yourselves a good time, whether you're gay or not. Already in this special, I got to rant about pride and human rights and all that stuff, and I got to recommend movies. But I really wanted the Pride special to have something personal, too. A lot of you have told me that you love all the stuff I do here, but you really like when I get personal. So I decided that some of you have also asked how Mike and I got together and met, so I decided I was going to tell you how that came about. In 1999, I started going to a support group. It was for gay and trans and gender, transgender and bi and lesbian, and anybody could go to this. And I remember going, it was at a little place on James Street, Gamora's Books. It sadly isn't there anymore, but I went there because I had just been coming out and I really felt that I needed to meet more people in the community. Not a lot of people went to this, and basically, as Mike put it, we'd go and there'd be a lot of lesbians there. And I'm talking not many, because there was only about maybe 7 or 8 people that would always show up. And usually they wouldn't show up again. There was only a couple regulars. But mostly a lot of lesbians came. They dominated the conversation. And then they left a half hour before the end because the YWCA had a lesbian-only support group. And then they'd go and talk there, and then we'd have a half hour basically talking about not much because we didn't have much time left. But it was still an interesting place. Now, I had gone a couple of weeks, and then one day, Mike showed up. And I noticed, obviously, right away, he was pretty cute, but we didn't really talk or hit it off or anything. So we talked a bit, and I listened to a couple of things. He was pretty quiet, like most of you know he is, but he would say certain things, and I don't know, I took them as, wow, I think I could really like to get to know him. Like, he mentioned that, you know, when we were talking about people we were attracted to, he said that he was more attracted to Drew Carey-looking guys than, you know, the regular people kind of thing. And I thought to myself, I'm more in the Drew Carey kind of crowd. Unfortunately, I was also very shallow, so I probably said something that, you know, I was attracted to pretty much everyone, and that probably put him off. Anyhow, we didn't really talk or anything, but we were coming up to the end of the summer, and basically we were coming up to the end. They took a break during the summer. So what happened was it was going to be the final day there, and I decided that that was going to be the day I go talk to Mike, and he didn't show up. He wasn't there, and a couple of the guys that were regulars mentioned, oh, where's Mike? And I realized that they all thought he was pretty cute too, and they were going to all talk to him too. So I was a little bummed out and sad because I had waited so long. This is, again, a nice lesson for all you people who wonder why waiting is such a bad thing. And he wasn't there, and I didn't know if I'd ever see him again. Well, the summer had passed, and I obsessed about Mike a little bit. I remember telling my friend Wayne, and Wayne kind of told me, well, let's put together all the stuff you know about him from when he would talk. And basically, I remember him mentioning where he lived, and it was across from Eastgate in an apartment building, but it was in Stony Creek. Well, we did the deduction and figured there was only one building that way. And Wayne, being the kind of crazy goofball person he was, actually decided to drive into the apartment. And I'm like, what are you doing here? And he goes, I don't know, maybe you just might walk up or something. And I felt so bad. And I remember we both looked at the building thinking, there's something about this building, not realizing that it would become my home one day. So anyhow, I gave up on all that. That summer, I really started enjoying my life. And what happened was, in August, my mother passed away. And I obviously felt a deep loss. And Mike kind of slipped away from my little dreams and fantasies. So did everything else. Because I was dealing with the first major family death that I've ever dealt with. And as I talked about a couple weeks ago about losing parents, you can tell where my head was at. So I was really screwed up for a while. Then in October, it was a really rainy, rainy, rainy night. And something in my head popped up that there was the gay support group tonight. I had heard a rumor that they had moved it from Gomorrah's and were now running it into a church on James Street. And it was rainy. I was talking myself out of it, and I remember my brother was going. He had visited my father, and then he was leaving, and he said, well, if you want to go somewhere, I can drive you there. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to go. And I did, and when I did, I got there, and it was pouring and thundering, and I was getting caught in the rain. And when I got to the church where they were now holding it, the door was locked. And I couldn't believe it. I said, oh my God, I risked this, and they canceled it on me. I was banging on the door. I was trying to pull at the door, hoping that it was just me being weak. And I was almost crying and breaking down. And I couldn't believe it. I could have been at home, staying at home where I'd spent a lot of days and stuff. And then, like out of a movie, I heard someone behind me saying, it must be locked. And when I turned around, there was Mike. And I couldn't believe it. And I can still picture him there, even with the rain falling on him. And then right after that, I said, yeah, it is locked. And then the guy who ran it came in and unlocked it. But he kind of, we canceled the thing. I think we met for a little bit. And then he canceled it. And then it was still pouring. And Mike asked if I wanted a drive, which was a really big thing for him due to the fact that I found out later that Mike doesn't really make big things like that. So the fact that he did for me was a big thing. I decided not to hesitate and say yes. And I found out the reason he wasn't at the final one was that he had, I want to say gallstones, I could be wrong, but he was in the hospital with really bad pains and was going through a heck of a lot, and that's why he missed the final one. And I eventually told him that I was going to ask him out, even though I had never really been on a date with a guy before. So after that day, we exchanged numbers, and again, I didn't really date, so I didn't know what to do. So I had a lot planned for the weekend, so I said, I'm going to call him later on in the week, but I'm going to do the old play it cool and not, you know, just call him right away and look too desperate and anxious. So I said, I'm going to just enjoy everything I do this weekend. And then on Sunday, I was going to call him. Well, Sunday came and I planned to call him right after dinner, but I got a telephone call on Sunday afternoon, and it was Mike. And we had a long conversation, and basically from there we set up our first date. And the rest, I guess you could say, was history. We dated probably for about 2 years, maybe a year and a half. And we talked about moving in together. And we looked around for some places, and his parents kind of liked going up to their cottage. They rent a cottage up north, and they had often talked about staying up there regularly. So Mike had a 3-bedroom apartment that was really cheap, and I said, well, if you don't mind living here, we could just move in there. And he said, well, it would be much different with you here, because we'd be creating our own lives. And so we agreed to move in together. And that would have been June 2001, I believe, if I'm right. And we decided that since I was going to move in on June, that we were going to go to Pride Day together. And that's exactly what we did. And we decided that since I was going to be moving in on the week of Pride Day, that would become like our wedding anniversary. Because Mike and I both hate weddings and care too much about our friends and family to put any of them through any of that stuff, we decided that we were just going to do something for ourselves. So me, Mike, and Heather went to one of the Pride Day dances. Heather being Corta, my producer that I talk about regularly. We went to the embassy, I believe, and we may have went to a couple other places, and it was one of the only times we actually went to Pride and just danced our asses off. We got home about 2 o'clock, and when I say home, we got to my old place because I wasn't fully moved in yet. And what happened was, we had decided that we got home about 2 o'clock, and we decided we were going to set the alarm for about 5 a.m., and then we were going to go to Bayfront Park, a very favorite place of ours, and we would go and stand while the sun rised, and we would say vows to one another. Just us. We had dropped off Corda already, and it would just be us, because we believe that's all it really should be. And we did that. We woke up. We only got about 2.5 hours, 3 hours sleep. We drove, and while the sun was coming up at Bayfront Park, we were at one of the corners that we exchanged our vows. And it was just amazing and more beautiful than I could imagine any kind of commencement ceremony or wedding could be. We told people about that, and that date was going to be considered our anniversary date. And we deliberately put it on Hamilton Pride, so we knew that our birthday would always be close or on Pride weekend. And this weekend, it was our anniversary. This week was our anniversary. After we said our vows, our big reception was basically driving home, but we realized we were both very hungry, and we got a couple of hash browns at McDonald's drive-thru, and we just ate them, and then headed home and slept, and then we finished moving me in, and that was pretty much our wedding. And, you know, we love when people tell us about their weddings and stuff, but we don't think any less of our wedding because we think it was all the way we wanted to do it. And that's what it is all about. As much as we hate weddings, we respect that some people need to do the big in-your-face, look at us, we're so in love. But when people try to tell us that their big extravaganza wedding was more important than our little standing in front of the sunrise, God or Maker, whoever you want to be, was more important, we don't even discuss that, because as far as we're concerned, it's all the way you want to do it. So Mike and I have been together now for 14 years. We've been together longer, but since our anniversary, 14 years. That is a long time in the gay community, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you we're the perfect couple. We never fight or argue. We don't a lot. We have disagreements, but we've always respected ourselves. And even when we get points where we get angry at one another, we do not lash out. We don't go angry to bed together. We always have a respect because this is the person we love. I hear people who have these huge fights, and some people say that big fights like that help a marriage. I admit, you need to have an open communication and discussion, but sometimes the fights get nasty, and I don't believe you need that for a healthy relationship. I think communication, keeping the doors open, being honest, you know, all the time with your feelings. If something's happening that you don't like, you talk about it. That's not necessarily an argument. It's deciding. But we're still very happily in love. I can only speak for me, but Mike tells me he loves me all the time. It's really impressive to me because there was a time I never thought. Growing up, even when I was really young and knew I was gay, I always believed I'd just get married and have kids because that's what you do. When I realized that I was going to come out and live a gay lifestyle, I often believed that I'd never have a relationship, I'd never get to feel the way regular people feel. And the fact that I've now been in a relationship so long, and one that is a nurturing relationship, as in Mike supports me in every venture I have tried to do. He may not have understood every venture I try to do, but he's always there, very supportive. I know he listens to these, so I know I tell you pretty much every day or show you in some way, but I will say it, I love you. And the fact that I am in a relationship, and I know you didn't think you'd ever be in a relationship like this, too. On paper, we look like totally different people, but behind closed doors, we're a lot more alike than we think. I am the more flamboyant one. I'm the more talkative one. I'm the more, I won't say strong one, because I think Mike has a strength that is a lot stronger than mine. But the truth of the matter is we complement one another, and that's what I think it's all about. And I see so many people, whether it's gay, lesbian, straight, trans, whatever the case is, I see so many positive relationships. I see a lot of negative ones too, but I like that I see so many of them, and that I believe I've got one of those. And it's something you constantly have to work at, and you can't take for granted. I am so happy that I found Mike. I have constantly said it felt like a movie moment, so many of the movie moments. And so many people have heard this story and said, it seems like a movie. I want movie moments. I believe movie moments happen all the time. It's just the way you perceive them. Anyhow, I'm going to leave it on that positive note. And I hope you all find your movie moments. Those great epic moments or those small little ones. I think sometimes people look for these grandiose movie moments in your life, but it's those very small little isolated ones that are the ones that you need to cherish and feel good about. And I know I'm blessed all the time. And as this Pride special is coming to a close, and I have a heart filled with love thinking about Mike, thinking about all the people in my life that just make me feel so good. All the people who listen to this podcast and tell me, never be afraid to tell me, I love hearing what these shows mean to you and what I mean to you. And you know, as long as I have a breath, I will tell you what you mean to me. So please, let's keep the communication both ways. Anyhow, you have an excellent Pride Day. Make it Pride Day every day. Be proud of who you are, no matter what your gender, what your sexuality, what your religion is. Be proud of who you are. And I got some banging going on here, but it's not the good kind. But anyhow, I will talk to you real soon.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say.